We have in this chapter mention made of a man by the name of Elkanah. This man, he went up yearly to sacrifice to Shiloh. His name means the zeal of God. He had zeal then for God and for his service and for his worship. This man, he was married and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah and the name of the other was Peninnah. Hannah means gracious, Peninnah means precious stone. This man then went up yearly to worship with his two wives. The one had children, but the other had none. Peninnah, she had children, but Hannah had no children, for the Lord had shut her womb. This man having two wives is contrary to the way God instituted marriage. For God brought unto Adam Eve one wife. The first man that transgressed this primitive law was Lamech. He took to himself two wives. And we find likewise that Abraham, he had concubines. And from then on, the patriarchs, they followed suit until the time of Solomon and Rehoboam, it became such a scandalous excess that they had so many wives. Now God never gave his approbation upon this. This man then had two wives. And it is written in God's word, the man that feareth the Lord, he shall have children, and they shall be like olive plants round about his table. This man then, he did have children by the one woman, by the other he had none. But now he loved Hannah. That she had no children was from God, for it is God that giveth us children. And he it is that openeth the womb, and he it is that shutteth the womb. And we find that this man went up yearly with his two wives, and when he went up, he gave portions unto his wife Peninnah, and unto his daughters and his sons. But he gave unto Hannah a worthy portion, because he loved Hannah. And now we find that Hannah, not having any children, was being provoked by this woman Peninnah, as she became an adversary to Hannah. And Hannah, as she would have liked to have children, as she prayed continually, I believe, to have children. But when God shutteth, who shall open? And now this woman, Peninnah, began to be more or less an enemy of Hannah. And Hannah, she took this very hardly. It hurt her very much. And she became so depressed and so discouraged and so cast down because she had no children. Hannah in this is a type of everyone that's born again. And those that are born again are given to feel the need of Jesus Christ. And when they are led by the Spirit of God to see the necessity of Jesus, they long to possess him. They are sending up many prayers to have this child, Christ Jesus, born in their heart. And many times they are provoked inwardly by the enemy of their souls, who comes in and speaks unto them and says, you will never have what you're seeking after. You will never get an answer to your prayers. You'll never find this Jesus. You're going to go lost. You're going to perish. Now when this takes place on the inside and many adversaries on the outside, we then likewise become like Hannah, depressed, cast down. We fear that we shall never have what we are seeking after. And now Hannah, she had no children. I think there are many women, maybe there are some that are listening to me, that wished they were like Hannah, that they couldn't have any children. There are many that use preventatives so that they wouldn't have any children. Now, children are a heritage of the Lord, and when God gives us children, it's his blessing upon our married life. Under Israel of old, it was considered a curse if a woman didn't have any children. Now, many of these women were looking forward to bringing to this world the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been promised in paradise. And many of these Israelitish women, whenever they gave birth to a child, they hoped and they prayed that it would be that promised child. But of course, the time was not yet ripe for this promise to be fulfilled. And now Hannah, as she was so cast down and so depressed, year after year this took place. It wasn't just once, but it went on for years. And finally she became so discouraged and so cast down and so sorrowful because she couldn't have any child that she actually gave up eating. She didn't even want to eat anymore. She didn't want to, in fact, probably she didn't want to live anymore. And now, when they went up for the yearly sacrifice, we find that Elkanah, he gave unto his wife Peninnah and her children portions. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. What these portions were, the commentary doesn't say. It probably was that which they offered unto the Lord at Shiloh. The sacrifices that they gave and that they burnt in using the service of God. And now Hannah, she wouldn't eat anymore. Her husband, he looked at her and he went over to her. And he said unto her, Hannah, why art thou so cast down? Why art thou so depressed? Am I not more unto you than 10 sons? Now, when we are cast down, when we are in a sorrowful state and condition, then we find that even our own wife or our own husband are but miserable comforters. And when we have a wound inside that God has made, no human being can heal it. And there's only one that can give us comfort. And now this man, he tried to comfort his wife. He tried to encourage her by saying, look, Hannah, even if you don't have any children, I love you just the same. Ain't I more than 10 sons to you? Don't be so cast down because you don't have any children. But this did not encourage her. He could not encourage her. And therefore, after they had eaten, then we find that she went up to the tabernacle. This tabernacle was in Shiloh. Shiloh was a city of about 25 miles north of Jerusalem. Here, Joshua had placed the tabernacle of God. This tabernacle had remained in Shiloh 310 years. And it was at this place that they went up to worship God. The priest at that time was Eli. Mention is made of his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Eli was a direct descendant from the house of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood. He was the fourth son of Ithamar. And God had transferred the priesthood from the house of Eleazar to the house of Ithamar. And therefore, God greatly honored this man, Eli, by giving him to be not only a priest, but a judge in Israel for 40 years. And now Eli, he was sitting by a post in the house of the Lord. And we find that Hannah, a woman of a bitterful and a sorrowful spirit, as she came to the tabernacle to pray. She came to the right place. She came at the right time. She had probably went up there every year with her husband, and every year had probably said the same prayers. And now when she came this time, as she bowed down her knees, and she began to pray to God. And my hearers, there was such a difference this time. She found access. She found nearness to God. Have you ever found that? You know, you may say the same prayer 1,000 times, and you don't have any access. But there comes a time when God comes near to you, when he draws you. And then you say the same prayer. The prayer ain't any difference. The same needs, it's the same wants. But all the feeling, the realization that the ear of God is open to your prayer and that he's listening to you, a sinner like you. This now took place. Hannah came and she bowed and she began to pray. And as she prayed, she found access. And she said, "Oh, Lord of hosts," she not only claimed him to be Lord, but the Lord of hosts, the host of heaven, and also the host of his people here below. And she vowed a vow, and she said, "If thou wilt look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and if thou wilt remember me and not forget me, and grant unto me a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and not a razor shall come upon his head." As she then offered a prayer unto God, and as she was offering this prayer, as she was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved. How many of my hearers have ever prayed in this way? You know, it don't have to be a lot of words. In fact, it don't have to be any words. It just has to come from the heart. And this prayer came from the heart of Hannah. How many of my hearers have ever been in the throne of grace? And when they were so choked up, so sorrowful themselves, so cast down because of their sins and their iniquities, that they hardly could even say a word, but they spake in their hearts. You know something about that? That's what took place with Hannah. She spake from her heart, and only her lips moved. What a blessing, my hearers. All this woman, she prayed and vowed a vow. Have you ever vowed a vow, my hearers? Have you ever been in distress, providentially or spiritually? Have you ever had such a need that God should help you, and that you came with that need to him? And as you came, you vowed a vow. You promised that if this and that would be given unto you, then you would do this or do that. You know, vows, when they are made, they are to be kept. They are not to be broken. We read of Jacob that when he fled from his father's house, then he had a wonderful dream. And in this dream, he seen God standing above the ladder. And he vowed a vow. And he said that if God would be with him, and would give him bread to eat and raiment to put on, and would bring him back again to his father's house, then this place where he was would be a temple of God, and he would give the tenth of everything that he had unto the Lord. He vowed a vow unto God. You know, some people make vows, but they're sinful vows. You know those men that vowed a vow to take the life of Paul. They swore that they wouldn't eat or they wouldn't drink until they had killed Paul. Such vows are never to be made, and they are not to be kept. But when God gives you to make a vow, and God gives you an answer to what you have asked him for, then you are duty-bound to keep your vow. Have I anybody listening to me that says, oh, I know, there was a time when I made a vow. I was in distress. I needed God's help. There was only one that could help me. And God did help. God did bring me that what I asked him for. But that vow that I made, I've broken. And now I fear that God will never have anything to do with me, that God has forsaken me, and that God will surely be my enemy from now on because I cannot keep the vow that I have made. My hearers, God remembers that we are dust. And God never holds it against us if we make a vow that we cannot perform. For when we are in distress, we may make vows that it's an impossibility for us to do. That we need even God to help us to perform that vow. And because God hasn't given you that, therefore you fear that it's all over with you. That what you had vowed and what God had done for you was not true. My hearers, we are, as much as we are enabled to keep the vows that God gives us to make, but we also know that we are but dust, that we are weakness, that we are frailty, that we are sinners, and that we haven't any strength many times to keep our vows. Oh, when a child of God is first born again, and first on the narrow way, oh, what vows, what resolutions such a soul makes. And oh, what comes of those vows and what comes of those resolutions? Nothing. Now that person becomes a greater sinner in the sight of God, and it needs Christ, who fulfilled the law and who kept God's holy will to the last jot and tittle. And now this woman, she made a vow. And she said, and I hope there are some listening to me that can follow this woman, as we take her prayer apart, may I apply it to you. She says, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt look upon the affliction of thy handmaid. Have I someone here who can follow this and say, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt but look upon the affliction of me, a poor sinner, a guilty creature, a miserable being who are in trouble, who needs thy help, oh, if thou wilt but look upon me, and if thou wilt not forget me, is that your prayer? We find the thief on the cross. He prayed to the Lord, and he said, Lord, if thou wilt but remember me. For this woman, she wanted to be remembered. She didn't want God to forget her. Is that your case? Do you want him to remember you? Do you want him to look upon you in love and mercy? Do you want him to look down at your soul and deliver it from all your sins and transgressions? And then you can enter into the prayer of Hannah. And she promised God that if he would give unto her her request, if he would give her a man child, then she would give him unto the Lord. And that he would have no razor upon his head. What a mercy, my hearers, for any mother, or even if you are not yet a mother, that you may look up unto God and pray that God may give you a child, and that you would be enabled, if he fulfilled what you asked him, to dedicate that child unto God all the days of its life. I'm afraid there are very few mothers that have ever been given to do this as Hannah did. This is a great exception. Before this child ever was born, it was dedicated unto God, dedicated to the service of the Lord, and to be with the Lord all the days of its life. How many mothers have I listened to me that wished that they could have done this with their child? That they would have been given this grace, that if God gave them this child, they could loan it to the Lord all the days of its life? Could we give it to anyone better? Could we put it into any better service than into the service of God? Oh, my hearers, what do we bring our children for into the world? Into whose service do they come? And whose servants are they? And whose servant are you yet to this day? Servant of Satan, servant of sin, serving the world, serving the flesh. And then think, you've been baptized, and your parents probably held you over here before the Lord. And who knows what was going on in the hearts of your parents? Oh, they probably lifted up a prayer to God too, that this child would be one of his children, and that he would baptize it with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and that he would take it for his, for time and eternity. What a blessing if we have a child, that God has wrought a good work of grace in. Have we any such children amongst us? We have a Bible class of children. What a mercy it would be if God would just take one now and then and raise it up, prove that it's one of his children. How delighted the mother would be. Oh, what a wonder, what a miracle. How many mothers have I listened to me that wish that that would take place with their children? I'm sure I'm touching your mother's heart. I'm a father myself, and I have three children, and I sure do wish that even to this day God would do that. But here there was a young man. Before he was ever born, he was dedicated to the service of God. And we find that Hannah, as she prayed, and as she prayed, this Eli, the priest, he's looking at her. And he sees her lips moving. She's not saying anything out loud. And this priest, instead of doing the office of a priest, he thinks that this woman is drunk. You know, Israel was sunken so low at this time that their religious worship was nothing else but formality. And probably Eli had seen other women that had come to the house of the Lord, and they had been drunken. When they came up to offer the yearly sacrifice, they ate and they drank. And when these people came to worship, they had probably imbibed too much, and they were drunk. And Eli thought that this woman was drunk. He didn't go over to talk to her first and ask her and find out her trouble. No, he condemned her because as she continued praying and only her lips moved. There may be someone listening to me who likewise has been condemned. It's a sad thing when even a priest of the Lord condemns us and thinks that we are drunk. But this is what they thought of Peter and of the multitude upon the day of Pentecost. These men are filled with sweet wine. They thought the same thing of them. And so Eli thought of this woman, that she had imbibed too much wine. Now there may be a soul here that likewise is of the same spirit as Hannah, of a sorrowful spirit. And you have poured out your soul unto the Lord, and someone probably has seen you. Someone probably has taken notice of you, that you're entirely different than what you were. And they began to ridicule you. They began to mock you. They began to do something like Eli did. They're touched in the head. They accused many times God's dear children of being out of their minds, something wrong with them. They're mentally affected. This man, he thought that this woman was drunk. But she was not drunk, my hearers. I wish that every one of my hearers was like she was. And now, when this woman had finished her prayer, she arose and she went to Eli. And she said, "Count not thy handmaid as a daughter of Belial, for I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I have poured out my soul before the Lord." Oh, when Eli seen this, and when he seen that she was honest, that she was sincere, that it was true, and then he began to work in another way. And then he became a priest, and he spake unto her, and he said, "The God of Israel, grant unto thee thy request. Go ye in peace." All my hearers, it may be that there's a soul listening to me, that they come under the ministry of the word, and they're rebuked. Just like Eli rebuked Hannah, so many a soul gets a rebuke under the word, under the ministry. But then again, that same ministry is sometimes used for the comfort of their immortal souls. God works mysteriously and wonderfully in this way. Now this is what happened to Hannah. "And now he spake unto her and said, The God of Israel grant unto thee thy request. Go ye in peace." Oh, my hearers, am I speaking to somebody who has such a desire for Jesus, that has such a need for Jesus, who art also of a sorrowful spirit, and who also have poured out your heart unto the Lord? Or may the words of Eli be applied to your soul. Go ye in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy request. Oh, it was just like he prayed for her now, that God would give unto her what she had prayed for. And now when she arose, we find that her countenance was no more sad. As she had left her burden at the feet of the Lord, she had come there and she had poured out her soul, and now she had such confidence, she had such faith, she had such encouragement in her heart to believe that God would give unto her what she had asked him for. And her countenance was no more sad. You ever have that? You ever unburden yourself before God? You ever find access? You ever find nearness? You ever believe that God was listening to you, a worm of the dust? And as you were given to unburden yourself, you just lost your burden. You had such nearness and such access and such love and such affection to God in your heart that you could believe that he would give unto you your request. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if we are given to pray to God and to believe that he will give unto us what we have asked him for. There may be somebody listening to me that says, "Oh, I've had that so many times. I can't deny that I've been burdened many times with my soul, with my condition, and with not having Christ. And at times, I've been given so to pray to God. But here I am, year after year, I don't seem to find what I've been asking for. And sometimes I fear that it's not true, that I won't find what I'm asking for and seeking for. But now, down at the bottom of your heart, there's this resolution that you're going to remain at his feet. And if he casts you away, well, that's all that you deserve, that's all you can expect. But you're going to remain at his feet and plead that he will grant unto you your request. And now for your encouragement. I don't know if I could encourage you, but God could. And this woman, Hannah, she was heard, she was answered. And do you not think that God hears you? Do you not think that he that listens to the cries of the sparrows and of the ravens, that he don't hear your cry? That he don't know what's going on in your heart? That he don't know when you pour out your soul unto him? And you may rest assured that just as sure as he gave unto Hannah what she sought after, he will likewise give unto you. He never puts a cry in the soul to despise it, and not to hear it, and not to answer it. And would he not take notice of his own work? He never despises the work of his own hands. And it may be long, and it may appear to you that he's not listening, and that he's angry with you, and that he'll not have anything to do with you. But he is of one mind. Oh, he's a faithful God. Ever faithful, ever true, we sing. And that he is. I can testify to that. Against all our unfaithfulness and against all our sinfulness, he remains the same, the unchangeable God. So he was to Hannah. And we find Hannah and her husband as they return home to Ramah. And it says, and God remembered her. Elkanah likewise remembered his wife, but God remembered her. And the time came when she gave birth unto a son, and she called his name Samuel, because he was given unto her from the Lord. All my hearers, Hannah then had an answer to prayer, a living answer. She had a living son, and therefore she called him that name Samuel, given from the Lord. She likewise was overjoyed, was filled with praises to God that he had given her what she had asked for. But she also could look at that child and see in that child an answer to her prayer. And she likewise could make the name of that child a memorial unto himself, that he was a child given from God. And now when we find that this dear man wanted to go up yearly again to make sacrifice, we find Hannah, she didn't want to go. She said, let me wean him first, and then I will take him up to Shiloh, and then he can remain before the Lord forever. She remembered her vow. She remembered what she had promised to God, and she was going to be faithful to what she had vowed. She wasn't going to go back on it. And now she says, when I have weaned him, I will take him up unto Shiloh before the Lord. And this then, my hearers, proves unto us likewise that where Hannah would not take Samuel up unto Shiloh to be before the Lord for the rest of his life, so God will never take one of his children unto glory above, to be with him forever until he has weaned them. And you know, when a child is born, a natural child, then that child, it lays at the breast of the mother. It has to be fed, it has to be nourished. It usually thrives on the breast. And now when God creates a new life in a person, and then that person becomes a newborn child. And that child, it lays at the breast of God. And that child, it thrives. Just as a natural child thrives on the milk of its mother, so this spiritual child, it thrives, it grows on the sincere milk of the Word. Oh, what a wonderful time, my hearers, when God creates us anew, and when we as a little child come up to the house of God, and we are given to be nourished. Oh, we have something on the song, we have something on the prayer, we have something on the reading of the scriptures, and then the sermon, it's like a feast. Oh, everything is new, everything is so wonderful, and we enjoy that so that we wish that we had church every day. Oh, we can't get enough of this spiritual nourishment. You know such a time in your life? I'm afraid so few know of it. Oh, what a wonderful time. And we think that this is going to grow, going to get better and better. And sometimes when it seems to sink away, then we become so anxious, or we fear that everything is wrong. We fear maybe we deceived ourselves. But then God comes again. And God again dandles us on his knees. You know, just like a mother, she doesn't just wean that child all at once. It takes time before you wean a child. Anyone that has had experience of it, you know it takes a little time. You don't take that child off its breast immediately and give it substantial food. No, it takes a little time. And so God, he don't take a child all of a sudden off his breast, but gradually, this child that's going to be taken up to be with the Lord forever, it has to be weaned. It has to be weaned from all these frames and all these feelings and all those pleasant things that it has been enjoying. It has to have substantial food. It has to have strong meat, as the apostle says. And now, if you are only a child, I envy you if you are one, a spiritual child, for I know what it is. Oh, it's a blessed time. I wouldn't want to take anything away from any child. You can't. It's God that does that. But God takes away those things that he has given. He weans every one of his children from these precious and these blessed things that you experience, so that Christ shall become your foundation. Your foundation is now your frames, your feelings, the words that you hear, your prayers, all the outgoings of your heart, this blessed life that you feel in your soul is your foundation. But you know not Christ. And therefore God has to wean his children so that Jesus will become the foundation of their soul. Some of you that have been going through this weaning process, if I should question you and say now, are you looking again for these frames, for these feelings? They'll say, no, no. Oh, I need a Jesus. I need a Savior. I need a righteousness for my soul, which in the beginning, you had no such need for. But now he becomes the one thing needful. For you fear that if you don't have him, you have no foundation to stand upon before him. Therefore, you're longing to possess him. That being weaned isn't a very pleasant process, but it's so necessary and so essential. My hearers, my time is gone. It's 5 minutes past 3 o'clock. I can't continue any longer, for the other ones will be complaining. The Lord willing, we'll pick up the book of Samuel next week. That's all for today. The Lord bless the feeble instructions that I've tried to give you out of his precious word.